If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. As we do, I'm just going to take my watch off. Reminds me of a story. I probably shared it years ago, but it's apt this morning because the clock's not working very well, or because the clock's about 2 hours behind me, which is a worry for you because it means I might go on too long. The story's told of a couple of boys, a young Christian boy and a young Jewish boy, and they're best of friends at school. And they decide this weekend that they want to go to each other's places of worship to see what it's all about and to spot the differences. And so on the Saturday, they duly head along to the synagogue, and the little Christian boy keeps asking his little Jewish friend all of these questions about what they do and the symbols that are around and the fancy lights and everything. On the Sunday morning, they go to church. And they're sitting there through the service. The little Jewish boy's asking his little Christian friend all of these questions about what the minister does and all the rest of it. And it comes to this point in the service. And the minister takes his watch off and he lays it on the lectern in front of him. And this little Jewish boy, thinking that there's significance in everything that happens during a service, turns to his little Christian friend and he says, "What does that mean?" And his little Christian friend looked at him and said, "Not a lot." Might mean just a little bit more to me. You never can tell. But Ephesians chapter 6, and let's read the first four verses together this morning. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Amen. Let's just pause for a moment and pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of being able to sing about it this morning, to be able to sing about you and your greatness and your splendor, your majesty, your love and your care. Man, we thank you for your word, which we've been able to read together. And we pray in these moments that you would encourage us through that word this morning. Allow us to dig deep and to see the wonderful truths contained within this word, not just for Ruth and David this morning, not just for parents of young children amongst us this morning, but Father God, for each one of us, that we might know what it is to bring children up, and that we might pray for those who are parents amongst us. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. An experienced parent said, "Before I got married, I had six theories about bringing up children. Now I have six children and no theories." The task of parenting can sometimes seem overwhelming. As we look for help, we find bookstores, we hunt on Amazon, and we find books jam-packed with how-to volumes from religious and from secular advisors. Yet when we search the Bible for specific guidance, we find few passages that tell us exactly what to do and how to do it. We often come back to Ephesians chapter 6 and to verse 4, which we read. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now, we might wish for more instruction than what this verse tells us, but perhaps God has packed it with more than we realize. If we began to dissolve that verse in our thinking, just like we do with some of those modern drinks, I don't know if you've seen the stuff. Andrew came in one day with this little packet of juice, Robinson stuff, and it's concentrated stuff. And the idea is that you fill a glass with water and you drop two drops of this stuff in, and suddenly it flavors your drink, unlike pouring in half a bottle of diluting juice like you normally do. It dissolves and goes much wider than we think. And I wonder if we let this verse dissolve in our minds this morning, if it will actually tell us more than at first glance we might see. This morning we celebrate with Ruth and David giving thanks to God for the wonderful gift of Judah. I want to spend a little bit of time poring over this verse this morning as we do that and seeing what's got to say to each one of us, to them in particular, but for all of us. If you've been with us in recent weeks in Cornton, we're working our way through Ephesians. We haven't got to chapter 6 yet. We're only in chapter 4. So this is a preview of what's to come in a few weeks or months' time. We want to encourage parents amongst us this morning in that wonderful task, that joyful privilege of bringing up our children. And so if you're a parent this morning, then listen in well. If you're thinking about becoming a parent, then listen in well. If you're not a parent, then there's still no excuses. Listen in and then be able to pray for and to encourage and to support the parents amongst us. This morning, this is a parent's checklist. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not one of those self-help books that promises 10 steps to success if you follow the pattern. I'm not saying that if you apply all of this word for word, it will result in perfect children. If only that could happen, eh? We are all different. We all have differing temperaments, differing ways of learning and of living. But I do believe that these words this morning are God-given principles for bringing up our children well. And if we apply them and use them, we will give our kids the best start in life. After all, above all else, we'll be pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, for those who haven't been with us when we've gone through Ephesians, Paul is in this section of his letter to the believers in Ephesus, helping them to see that what they believe, and that's what he spent the first three chapters doing, teaching them what it is they believe. Now in these latter three chapters, he's telling them how that what they believe shapes how they behave. At the end of chapter 5, if you cast your eyes back there, he's laying the ground for healthy Christian family homes. He looks at the relationship between husband and wife. In chapter 6, he begins speaking to children and to parents. He's encouraged the children to honor the parents, to obey them and to follow their instruction. And then he turns to parents in verse 4. Now, I'm well aware that he uses the term fathers there, and that is extremely appropriate. For the scriptures would teach us that the man is the head of the house and is to lead his family well under God. However, this Greek word he uses is sometimes used as parents. And if you go into Hebrews 11 and 23, he translates that same word as parents there. Paul's also mentioned parents in the preceding verses. And of course, as we're well aware, both parents need to be involved in the bringing up of our children. Children need our help. They are mentally and physically, socially and spiritually inadequate. Sorry if I've burst a bubble this morning for some of you. They need to grow. They need to grow just as Jesus did in Luke 2 and 52, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. So this morning I say to the fathers amongst us in particular, because you've got a God-given role within the family, but I say to father and mother together, because you both have a tremendous responsibility and privilege in bringing up children, I say to you this morning, this is the parents' checklist. We come across a negative and a positive word for parents here in verse 4. We have a caution, and then we have a command to look at today. So let me start with a caution. Paul says, do not exasperate your children. Exasperate is translated from a Greek word which literally means do not provoke to wrath or to anger. We're called not to provoke our children to anger. We're called to bring them up in such a way that they do not resent us and have anger against us. And this message was particularly apt for the day in which it was written. Fathers in particular tended to be extremely harsh. And yet I want to ask the question, are we any different today? With the time pressures that we face, with the job pressures that are there, with the financial pressures, with all of the stresses around us, are we any different? Are we still harsh with our children at times because we're caught up in the stress and strain of living life? We're invited to remember that children are delicate. They have fragile personalities. They are shaped by what happens around them and what happens by their parents. When we are harsh with them, we risk destroying their lives. We run the risk of encouraging them to grow up the wrong way and to have an attitude problem later on in life. And we see all around us the effects of harsh parenting, where children are provoked to resent their parents, and this resentment comes out against all adult authority figures. Work with children and you will see it happen. So what are some of the ways we provoke our children to anger? I have a list of 10 for you this morning. You'll be pleased to know. But let me start with Rebecca's fun list, first of all, because on Monday morning I was driving her to the train station and I've been talking about the early start of my preparations in the study. And I said to her that we're talking about fathers not exasperating their children. And she said to me, "Dad, you do that all the time." And I said, "In what ways?" She says, "Well, first of all, you sing. But not only do you sing in the house, which is bad enough, but when we're out and about, you sometimes start singing and it's so embarrassing." I said, "But what else?" She says, "Well, there's those awful jokes that you tell that you think that are funny and they're not funny. There's that moment when I walk into the living room all dressed up to go out and you say, 'What are you wearing?' And then there's that regular Saturday night occurrence when you walk into the living room and you say, 'What's that smell?' Because I'm busy painting my nails." And Rebecca's list, I think, could probably go on and on and on. You need to ask her later on about the ways a father exasperates their children. Fun, yes. Because actually, as a dad, and some of you will recognize this morning, as a dad, those are the kinds of things that you do to provoke a little bit of fun in the house. But there's a serious list. Serious ways that we exasperate our children. Paul gives us a caution in dealing with our children that we not provoke them to anger. And we need to unpack it to see what it means. This isn't an exhaustive list by any manner of means. And we're not going to look at them in any kind of in-depth way. But it's a good starter for you to go away and to think about this morning. So parents, we have to guard against over-protecting our children. Over-protection. It's understandable in the day and age in which we live to try and over-protect our children, to be protective of them. We live in a culture which is not child-friendly. The simplest thing in our world to do is to wrap them up in cotton wool and to keep them in the house and not let them out to play with their friends. We want to keep them safe. We don't want them to wander off with certain groups of other children or anything else because they might be riffraff and we're not sure of it. There's a danger that we do that. And of course, there's good reasons for doing that because as a parent, you want the very best for your children. But actually, your children will only ever learn and grow if they experience some of what goes on outside the four walls of the house. There comes a time as they grow and as they mature that they must be given some measure of freedom. If you hold on too tightly for too long, they will come to resent it. So don't provoke them to that resentment. Don't provoke them to anger. Don't exasperate them with your overprotection. But it also comes out in favoritism. When we show favoritism, children become jealous and envious of other children, perhaps. They glow over the other. They become resentful of the other, of the parent who shows the favoritism. Go through the Bible and you'll find that Jacob was the favorite of Rebekah. We were thinking about that at Kids Club this week. Esau, the favorite of Isaac. Jacob repeated the whole thing as he had Joseph as a favorite and later on young Benjamin as well. We have to be careful in everything that we do not strive to place one child over the other and to show favoritism. Don't ever compare a child with their siblings. You'll discourage them. You'll make them angry. You'll break their spirit. When parents show favoritism to their kids, it turns them into very insecure adults. You can cause a child to become angry by setting unrealistic goals. Some parents literally crush their children with pressure. Pressure to excel at school, pressure to excel in sports and music and any activity they do. And listen, see, when that happens, it's got very little to do with the child and it's got everything to do with you as a parent and with the reputation that you want. This becomes very frustrating when the child has no sense of having reached a goal, no sense of having fulfilled an expectation. It leads to them being angry and being bitter. Don't exasperate. You can frustrate your child to anger by overindulgence. What do I mean? By giving them everything that they want, by picking up after them always, by allowing them to throw off all responsibility and accountability to others. You can exasperate them by letting them sin and get away with it so that they learn to do it successfully. ultimately, when they face the world and people don't serve them and don't take all the responsibility for them and for their misdeeds, they will get bitter and they will get angry and they will get violent. It's exactly that kind of generation, actually, I think sometimes we see growing up today. They're overindulged. They're given too much. Fifthly, you can exasperate your child by discouragement. And I think that comes in two ways. A lack of motivation, a lack of understanding and a lack of reward, because both of those destroy motivation and they destroy incentive. We need to understand our children, understand what it is they're thinking, understand what they're trying to accomplish, understand why a certain thing happened, why a certain behavior occurred, why a certain incident went a certain way. Give them a listening ear. Give them an understanding heart. Reward them generously and graciously with love. Give them approval and honor and be patient with them, or they get defeated and discouraged, and that turns to anger. You can provoke your children to anger by a failure to make sacrifices for them. And I wonder how much we see of this in our day and in our age as well. In other words, by making the child feel like they are constantly an intrusion into your life, constantly an interruption, always a bother. You want to do what you want to do. You and your husband, you and your wife want to go where you want to go. You want to farm the kids out somewhere, leave them, let somebody else take care of them. You're not about to change your lifestyle. You're not about to... You just want to do what you want. You're going to have your fun, your pleasure. And the kids are just going to have to fend for themselves. What kind of parenting is that in our day and age? Kids are sensitive. They pick up on all these kinds of things. Sometimes you need to sacrifice. You need to sacrifice your hobby. You need to sacrifice your free time. Listen, you need to sacrifice your me time. So it can take the kids swimming. Take them to the park. Sit them on your knee because they want you to tell them a story. Make sacrifices for them. I also think we exasperate our kids sometimes with a failure to allow childishness. That's a strange one, isn't it? To allow childishness. We often say that the years pass too quickly and we want their childhood back, and yet we're desperate all during their childhood for them to behave like adults. They're kids. Let them be kids. Let them have some fun. Let them say silly things. Let them mess things up. Don't worry if they knock something over by mistake. Give them a job to do, and when they don't do it well, encourage them rather than criticize them that next time they might do it a little bit better. Let them be kids. Let them have a bit of fun. Number eight is a key one. If I look at my own life, I've not always managed well. Certainly when the kids were younger and I worked long hours in the bank. Neglect. I'm not talking about the kind of neglect that gets the social workers involved with you because you're really bad, but I mean neglect as in you don't spend time with them. You get caught up in so many things. We leave early, we get home late. There is a meeting at the church which I need to go to, so we eat tea quickly and I run out the door, and in the process we forget about our kids and we neglect them. It becomes so easy to put everything, something, anything before our children, and what a damage it does to them. Friends, we need to take time with our kids and make sure we don't neglect them. Yes, it's good to be at church. Absolutely great to be at the Bible study. Imperative that you're at the prayer meeting. It's good to be at the kids' club helping. It's good to help at this thing and that thing and the next thing. But, God has given us the precious gift of our children. And we have a great responsibility to look after them and to bring them up well. And that means sometimes we need to forget about some of those meetings and stay at home with our kids. That means we need to plan time in to spend playing with them and putting them to bed. Take turns to get out to the prayer meeting. Take turns to help at the kids' club. Take turns to bath them. Take turns to pray with them. Take turns to read their Bible and put them down for the night. Don't neglect them. Another way to provoke them to anger is by withdrawing love. Tell them you don't love them anymore. That's probably the fastest way to make your child insecure. Don't ever withdraw love as a punishment. You do that when you say, Daddy won't like you if you do that. Mummy won't like you if you're going to say things like that. God never stops loving his children, even when we sin terribly against him. Your child needs to know that you will never stop loving them, regardless of what they do. You might not be happy about it. You might want to discipline them about it. But don't ever tell them that you won't like them. Don't withdraw your love. And lastly, probably a very obvious one about exasperating your children, verbal or physical abuse. Don't take your anger out on your children. The words we use when speaking with our kids can so easily damage them for life. They can destroy them and discourage them. A barrage of well-chosen words from your adult vocabulary can cut that little heart to shreds. And what is as devastating as anything are words of anger, words of sarcasm, words of ridicule. Frankly, we say things to our kids that we would never say to another adult. And shame on us for that. I'm not talking, and of course, there's the verbal abuse. There's also the physical abuse there. I'm not talking about that little pat on the behind when they're young to show them the error of their ways. I'm talking about that slap, that punch, that pushing around in our anger. There's a caution here. There's a caution. Just some small practical ways that we can exasperate or provoke our children to anger. You read that first part of the sentence there, Father, do not exasperate your children. And you stop and you think, that's easy. But see if you dig. If you mine into it, if you think about how ways you can exasperate your children, you very quickly get a list of 10, and I'm sure you could probably get a list of a whole lot more that you can tell me about afterwards. There's a caution. Now, I know I've taken up a fair chunk of time on the negative, but there's maybe a reason for that. A little bit of time on the positive now. Paul goes from a caution to give a command. He warns of the negative, and then he encourages and he exhorts with the positive. He says in the second half of Ephesians 6 and 4, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That word for bring them up literally means to nurture them, to nourish them, to feed them. Paul uses it back in verse 29 of chapter 5, referring to feeding our bodies. Paul uses it here in the context of our children's upbringing. We are to nurture them and we are to feed them. We are to build them up. Calvin translates this as deal gently with them. Hendrickson says, rear them tenderly. Children are tender and gentle. They're fragile creatures. They need our tenderness. They need the security of our love. Bring them up. Bring them up. They won't get there by themselves. I should hastily say to you this morning, you've got to bring them up. We are to nurture them as they grow and develop. We as parents are responsible for that, and we should guard that responsibility and do it well. It's our God-given responsibility, and that demands of us our time and our talents. It requires communication skills. It requires discipline. I think the key point I'd make here is it requires time to nurture a little one. We have to make time for our children. I know our schedules are busy, but make time for them. What? How can you make time? Well, you can actually make time just as you're going about the daily things of life. At the beginning of our service this morning, we spoke of Deuteronomy 6. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, there is a wonderful truth for us. It says, impress them on your children. It says, talk about them when you sit at home. So here's your clue. If you need to know how to make time for your children to bring them up well, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. There are lots of opportunities every day in life for you to talk to the Lord, talk to your children about the Lord, to bring them up well. The command to nurture them, to bring them up, is a twofold command. Firstly, parents are to discipline their children. That's what the word train means here, quite literally. And of course, there's a positive and a negative part of discipline, isn't there? This training requires years of patient encouragement and correction. Positively train them how to deal with life's trials in a spirit of joyful thankfulness before the Lord. train them how to handle their emotions, how to relate lovingly to others, how to work through disagreements and conflicts in a godly way, how to discipline and use their time, how to work hard, how to be a good steward of the money and the possessions that God entrusts to them, and every other skill that they will need to be mature adults. We are to train them up well for life. Parents have the responsibility of teaching their children the things they need to know about the Lord. They're to expose them to the Bible. We're to teach them the Word of God. That's why always at a dedication service, I'll give a children's Bible over, not because I think the parents aren't going to teach their kids from the Bible, but just as a gentle little reminder that here's a way to do it. We are to expose them to the Bible. We are to teach them about the Word of God. We are to help them understand the gospel. We are to teach them right from wrong based on what the Bible says. Parents are to educate and train their children and the ways of righteousness and holiness. Negatively, of course, training or discipline refers to correction, chastisement for wrongdoing. Children need to know the boundaries in life. I've seen that again and again and again and again in this place. As we've brought kids into the kids' club, young folks into the youth cafe, you set them boundaries and they don't run away because they're put off. But they come running back time and time again because they love the boundaries. They need the boundaries in life. They need to learn that there are rules to obey. To learn this, they need to be disciplined when they cross the line. Failure to discipline your children when they are young will cause them to have little respect for any authority when they grow up. If they don't learn respect in the home, my friends, they will have no respect outside the home for teachers or for any adult figure or for the Lord even. Discipline your children. Then the command parents are to direct their children. We're dealing with the instruction of the Lord here at the end of verse 4. This means to admonish, to teach by means of words. There's no underestimating the importance of the things that you teach your children. It's essential for parents to spend quality time and quantity time with your kids. It's essential that you communicate love with them by your eye contact, by hugging them, by physical touch. It's important that you communicate to them by means of positive words, being very careful of the words you say, the tone of voice that you use. Importantly, what are we doing? We're directing them in the ways of the Lord. We are instructing them about Him. Let me take us back to Deuteronomy 6 and those verses again. Because here we learn about how to instruct our children of the Lord. We teach them about God. We teach them to love God. We teach them to obey God. We teach them to follow our example. That's what Moses has recorded there in Deuteronomy for us. Verse 4, he tells us that we are to recognize who the Lord is. He is the Lord our God. The Lord is one. He is the one true God. Verse 5, how to love the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Verse 6, how to teach them to obey God. These commandments I give you today, he says, are to be upon your hearts. And then in verses 7 to 9, we get that whole example as we talk about the Lord all day long through every experience of life. Show your children that in all times in your life, all experiences in your life, on the tip of your tongue is always the Word of the living God. Let them see that your life is dominated by divine truth. Let them see all of life as a classroom. Every occasion is an opportunity to teach and to learn. Every experience in life, an opportunity to point them to heaven. Everything that happens is a path back to Scripture and ultimately on to God. In very simple terms, read your Bible with your children. Talk to them about the things of God and pray with them. There's an awful lot more in one little verse than you would think when you read it this morning, if you're willing to drill down and to mine for gold. This verse teaches us so much about parenting. Forget the self-help gurus. Forget the books. Don't waste your money. Turn to God's Word and ask God to show you His ways in His Word. This isn't everything you need to know. It's not everything you two need to know. It's not everything every parent in this room needs to know, but it's a very good start. Remember the parents' checklist. There's a caution and a command. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. As parents, let us commit ourselves to this wonderful privilege and responsibility of raising children. as members of the wider family of God in this place, let us commit ourselves to this God-given task and responsibility to pray for parents and families as we go. And may God give us the grace and the love, the wisdom and the discernment to know and to do what is best in bringing up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the wonderful truth that is contained within it, even in one short verse. Father God, we thank you that we've been able to think on it and to dig deep to see what might be meant by the words that are recorded there for us. Lord, I want to pray for every parent in this place this morning. I pray that they would not feel overwhelmed by the task, but Father God, that they would be encouraged in the need to live their lives well, bringing up their children well, that they would take note of the word of caution, that they would remember that command to bring up, to train, to instruct their children. Father God, give great wisdom to the parents amongst us this morning. And Lord, for those of us whose kids have grown up, or for who don't have kids close by, Lord, help us to support the parents in our midst. Help us to encourage them. Help us to walk with them. Help us to encourage the children that we encounter Sunday by Sunday as well. Help us to build them up as well in the things of God. Help us to example to them how to live life well and how to honor you in the process. Father God, I pray this morning that everything that's of you would remain in our minds, that we might think on it this week, that anything in there that's of me, Lord, would just be thrown out and lost, that we might see the deep truths of Scripture, your truths, and that we might live by them in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.